Just also from my side, welcome to all the Durbanville guys and each and everyone that's visiting. I hear there's some friends from Mosselbaai of Hartenbos, lekker my familie te. And yeah, just Springbok, the half and die kant af ook. And if you're visiting, yeah, it's just great having you with us. And I hope that you're sensing something of God. In some way, starting to hear, maybe not with your physical ears, but with the ears of your heart, what he's speaking to you. I had this scripture on my heart, and last week we at some stage divided into small groups just to pray together. And a number of the people just said, that was so good, we really want to do that again. So when people ask you if they can pray, you don't say no to that. So what I actually want to do is we want to just create a quick moment of turning to one another, about four or five. If you don't know one another, and I think there's a greater chance of that this morning, introduce yourself. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray through this scripture. This is a scripture given to a church or to a group of believers, mainly Jewish at that stage. It's in Hebrews, and at some stage you read in Hebrews 12, 11 and 12, that the people were actually going through quite a persecution. Some of them had their land being taken from them unlawfully. Some of them had family members or themselves being persecuted, being taken to the jail. Some of them were, the families were being being separated from one another, all for the fact that because they were believing in Jesus. And the writer writes to them about a kingdom and a faith that is not of this world. It's not based in this world. It doesn't get its strength. It doesn't get its value. It doesn't get its life from this world and the things that we see around us. It gets it from God. And so then he gives a scripture or a part, and he says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship and reverence and awe. And then just after that, for our God is a consuming fire. And increasingly, the church, and it might be that we as individuals don't have contact with so many people. As far as we know, nobody has the coronavirus here this morning. Although I thought it was so ironic. Letitia told me, you know what? My first name is Corona. Corona Letitia. And then she was, on her ID, you will read Corona Letitia. Isn't it so interesting that God uses? That Corona's brought the message of Jesus and of hope this morning. And in the choosing life. But yeah, that with stock markets, with sicknesses, with persecutions, with wars, all this, the church at large, gathering together, worshiping Jesus, loving one another, and it being an example and expressing a way of life that is not phased by the world, but that keeps on devoting itself to the Lord of this kingdom and the people of this kingdom, it speaks a better word. It speaks a stronger word. And so part of that, we're praying this for us, but we're praying it for the church at large. We're praying it for people that are without hope. Maybe some sitting here this morning, sitting here, or friends that have suicidal thoughts, that are confronted with that, that have words, how do I get out of this? And that we can have a kingdom that is that is unshakable. So let's turn about four at the most, I want to say, to one another. And then I want to ask you to pray while looking with your heart, saying, Lord, this kingdom, show me something of this. Then bless the person around you for that. If you don't know the person, introduce yourself. If you feel more comfortable praying in Afrikaans, dan bid jy in Afrikaans. But let's pray to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe just before you move, just hang on like that. Just take a moment and just one or two things that stood out for you while you were praying that you saw. If I use the word saw, it's like just what made all of a sudden just this stood out for you as you were praying. Because oftentimes when somebody else prays, they pray and you see something new. Or you started praying and it's like, oh Lord, yeah, you're giving me an answer. Or you're highlighting something. So just quickly share that with one another. If you're comfortable with that, hey, two, three people, and just what you saw, what stood out for you as you were praying.
I do feel something. I was just thinking about that scripture in Philippians. He started a good work, and I really believe that God has. This is a work of the Spirit. This is not a man-made. It's a great idea. Let's start another work in the fall. It's very definitely something that God has started in the Spirit. And the thing I would have just opened with is this scripture. I'm using the Afrikaans version of it here because it says something that is quite powerful. Was hulle almal eendragtig by mekaar. And that word, I mean, jy is mos Afrikaans spreek en so, dragtig vir my het baie meer betekenis dan net die saam te wees. Dragtig is eintlik die pregnant, there's an expectation. So, daar's an expectation. And the expectation comes with this en daar kom skielik. So die Heilige Gees is besig met iets en ek voel die Here het iets gedoen in die plek wat dragtig is. Dit is dragtig en vandag is net een van daai dae waar hy homself wil blootstel en sê ek is hier. Ek wil julle sien met die Heilige Gees. Want dit wat begin in die Heilige Gees. En dit sal aangaan in die Heilige Gees. Ons kan letterlik sê in die dag van Pinkster. Ons kan letterlik sê in die dag van die 15e Maart.
All right, you can finish off your conversations. So it might be that you're not used to you're used to one guy doing all the preaching, but we just had 4 or 5 people preach to you right now as they shared the word. Adrian just encouraged us about maybe doing church a little bit different than what you're used to. But isn't it nice when you start getting something from the person, you say, wow, I've never saw it like that. I never saw it like this. All of a sudden, God builds something and he gives you something of his heart and a revelation of him that didn't come from the pulpit, it came from around you. And we get to encourage one another. And that's what we, you know, oftentimes we say, the priesthood of all believers. That every single believer has within them the capacity and the blessing and the calling to share God's word and to serve one another in some way or the other. Henry, you want to quickly share that? You had in your heart.
Yeah, even while you're speaking, that God has set a table before us. It's a table. This is a table of the Lord, and this is how he sets it, in the presence of our enemies. That we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. God is doing a great thing. But there are two scriptures that I just kind of felt laid on my heart just in the course of it. The one scripture is from Philippians, and I'm going to read it from Afrikaans. Ek kan bietjie Afrikaans praat, nê? Is die perel hierso? Ja, nee. Okay. Filippense 1 sê: Hy wat 'n goeie werk in die begin het, dit sal volëindig tot die dag van Jesus Christus. God has begun something in the spirit that is going to end in the spirit. We're not going to do this on our own. You guys, and I'm really feeling strong about this, that God has started this in the spirit. This is not just a great idea. It's not something like, this is what churches do. We just church plant. We're not just church planting here. This is born of the spirit. And because it is born of the spirit, the thing that he started, he will finish. So I want you to be encouraged as a congregation. You may feel small. You may feel insignificant. You may feel at times, geez, what have I done? Yeah, there's no, who long? No? Sis? 2-3 maanden, okay. 3 months later, you kind of get this big surprise. Yo, it's different. But God is in this. God has started something great. And he's giving you, he's going to finish it. He's not going to end here. So you can literally say today is a good day. Because God is continuing the work that he started. This day is not just an ordinary day. It's another day that he continues the work that he started. All right, here's the second scripture that I wanted to share. And I probably would have shared this from the beginning with you. Handelinge, the book of Acts, okay, says this. En toe die dag van Pinksterfees aangebreek het. Okay, the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost came. Today could be the 15th of March. It doesn't matter what day it is because the work is started. So every day is one of those days, the day. It is a day that God has made. It is a day that God has set apart for his work. And what he continues to say is this: Was hulle almal toe die dag van die fees aangebreek het, was hulle almal eendragtig by mekaar. Dis 'n ou vertaling. Eendragtig. Eendrag maak mag, nee. Dis wat hulle sê. Yeah. But ek wil bietjie krap in julle Afrikaans. I just want to mess up your Afrikaans a little bit. The word that is used here in this particular translation is eendragtig. And I want to break that up and say dragtig. Wat beteken dit? What does that mean to you? Pregnant. Okay. And that's exactly how the Greek text actually describes this thing. Because we can all be in the same place at the same time, but then you can just as well go to the shopping mall. Or the beach. Yeah, let me a beach is on in there. Okay, let's call it the shopping mall. You can all go to the shopping mall and you can all be in the same place at the same time. But there's something about the presence of God that when we get together, we become drachtig. We become pregnant. We become pregnant with expectation. We become pregnant with the longing in our heart for this to be born, for this to come, for this to become a fully fledged body, a human being, a fully fledged church, a fully fledged calling of God. And if you want to break up, even if you go into the deeper Greek understanding of this particular word, it speaks to us of a fierceness, a krach, a fierceness inside of their hearts, a fire that was burning inside of their hearts. And that brought them together. And as they came together, the next part is the very obvious thing that comes in that way. En daar kom skielik. And there's a suddenness about God arriving in a place like this. And he pours out his spirit. And it is really my heart for you as a congregation. This is not just the only day. It wasn't just 3 months ago. But every single time you gather together, you need to be indrachtig. You need to be expecting God by his spirit to fall upon us and touch us and change us. We cannot change the world. We cannot change lives. We cannot reach a city. We cannot reach a city for God. It has to be in his spirit. And so today, be encouraged. God's spirit is present with us today. He's with us today. And when he pours, when he comes, then we will we will see things happen and change in our lives that are never been expected. Fires breaking out all over the city, all over in your little village or whatever you call it. Do you call this place a village? Dorp. Yeah, it can't even be. I actually got a fine already, you know that. I get al klaar met R200 betaal for die plek. For my sit plek is so, R200. Not today. But I disobeyed the law about 2 months ago when we had an elders meeting just down the road. And I was traveling a little bit too fast in the barrel. And I got a fine of $200. Anyway, bless you guys.
En Henry so, en skielik, toe spring hy agter die bos uit. Wonderful. I said 3 months, but it's actually 5 months. It feels like 3 months, but we've been gathering for 5 months since end of October last year. So, wonderful. Lots of words, and I hope to just kind of briefly maybe tie some of the things together, but we've been in a process of just looking at the kingdom of God, where we say the kingdom of God is the rule, it's the reign of God, dis waar hy beheer uitoefen. It is in the spirit. It's not just a kingdom that's a physical kingdom that God wanted to come and restore, but it's one that rules and reigns in our hearts. And we are part of that kingdom. And that's why we say, what stood out for me this morning is, therefore, let us be grateful for the kingdom that we're receiving, this kingdom. There's a joy component. There's a gratefulness that comes to it. And probably like many others, I've been reading around, what did the early church do in times of uncertainty, in times of, because they had plagues, they had different viruses also come out, and how was the church known in those times? And it's interesting, throughout church history, you see that the church, part of the testimony of the church was that they were joyously, consistently moving forward and believing in God. Some did die in the persecutions, the outbreaks, the plagues, and some did not die, but they kept on being joyful and grateful. And their good works, the way that they went through it, that was the testimony for the people. In fact, Luther, that was used greatly in the kind of Reformation, he wrote a letter because it was in his time that the Black Plague, as it was known, broke out. And so the religious leaders wrote him and asked, well, what should they do in this time? Should they run? Should they flee? And it's interesting, and I'm not going to go into the detail of his letter, but he speaks of being wise. He speaks of, you know, being clean. He actually assigns certain buildings to be only for people where they can be cared for. The cemetery would be outside the perimeters of the village, because it used to be inside the village. And so they had kind of hygiene encouragements and so forth. But he said, for the leaders, for the Christians, let's lay down our lives and serve one another with caution, but with joy, with love. And the church was known as the people that stayed and kept on looking after the sick ones. Some died because of that, but others kept and stayed through. And the church's testimony was that to such a degree that the authorities at that stage wanted to incorporate, wanted to put in something that was like the Christian organization, but it wasn't Christian. And so they wanted to do good works so that the people won't believe in Jesus. But the way that the Christians loved the people aggravated them to such an extent that they say, even the Christians keep on just doing this. And so it was such an example for the people. We've got an opportunity to burn and to shine our light and to be citizens of a kingdom that is unshakable. And Paul writes that hookah to the Philippians. Henry just encouraged us out of Philippians. And Philippians seems to be a letter or a book for us, our congregation. When we started, you remember we started in the old prison? And we spoke about how Paul was imprisoned and just how he came to Philippi and the way that God started the work there along the river. And just it was by the Spirit, and that what he starts, he will complete. And we're kind of coming to the end of the first term, as we call it. And I know some of you are getting ready to go on a bit of a break or so. And just in this term so far, we've kind of officially launched. We started again, you know, kind of in February. And we started to, you know, just get into a rhythm of coming together on Sundays here, meeting as communities. We are currently at the place where we're looking at how can we multiply the communities, because some communities are just too big to actually adequately care for you and see you grow in the Lord. So we're very glad that the Akkers have planted. You want to maybe just stand for a moment? So Alvin and Emma started a new community. So if you're looking for community, you know that, and they are gathered already twice now. And slowly but surely the community is starting, and the family feel and the relationships are coming about. And we're going to have more of that happen. And when that happens, it's exciting because there's growth. But to some, it's also not lekker because we are touching your comfort zone. We are getting you to have to change, to have to meet new people. And for that, I want to encourage you, be grateful, for you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, although your Wednesday night is being shaken a little bit. But it is vitally important as part of our way of life, as I spoke last week about the kingdom. Wherever you see Jesus the King coming in, be it as he walked on earth with his disciples, you see a kind of life developing. His followers devoted themselves to his words and his teachings. They gave themselves to prayer. They gave themselves to meeting together. And a community started to form, a family of believers. Then you see in Acts, the early church, as Henry just spoke, and Skillock, it came and the Holy Spirit is poured out. The heart of Jesus the King is still there, and the kingdom of God comes. And what happens? They devote themselves to the teachings of Jesus through the apostles' doctrine. They devote themselves to the people of God. They devote themselves to prayers. They go out. And so wherever the kingdom comes, you see a kind of life that develops, a kind of life that comes about. And it's one where we are devoted to the King Jesus. We are devoted to his people. We gather together. We start following him by the Spirit. And there is a multiplying of that taking place. And so for us, multiplying communities is vitally part of that. It's part of us as Josh Jane. Now, one of our key phrases is they in Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And so the way that we express the nature of God happens within these communities. But if it's just gathering together as little groups, because that's what we do, you're missing the heart of it. The heart of it is kingdom life. It is that what Jesus brought, his way of life. We follow Jesus. We follow what he shares. We follow what he shows. And we start to give ourselves to that. And we invite others to come and be part of that. And in that context, people discover God. People discover what love is all about. Or they should. And we come to know that love is not just a feeling, but it's an act of your will. As we, if you were born again in the 90s, there was a song of that. That is kind of one of the, is it the 90s? Eh? Don Francisco. And so I think, Fritz, I don't know if you mentioned it now in the meeting or just outside, but you know, we are created by God and designed to live and glorify Him. And whenever the feeling or the idea comes to do opposite that or not do that, that is unnatural. And in our day and age, we are bombarded with a way of thinking that says, if you feel it now and you do it, then you are honest and real. And you are authentic. If you don't feel like it right now, don't do it, because then it's going to be fake. Now, Inna and I have been married for 16, 17 years. There are a few times that my actions have caused her not to feel lots of love for me. A few times. But she chose to be truthful. She chose to be real and loved me in any case. That is the honesty or the integrity that God is looking for. Jesus did not always feel to follow the Father. There was a time that He was confronted with, oh, Father, can this cup pass by me? In other words, he's trying to say, this is not comfortable for me, but not my will, your will be done. And so that is the kingdom message that Jesus brought in. As we consider the kingdom, and I just want to highlight a portion, and this morning could be maybe titled The Mind of the Kingdom or The Mind of the King. Because if we want to have the same kind of kingdom and the same kind of life that Jesus had, we've got to come into how did He think about it? How did He feel about this? Remember last week we touched on a scripture that says, where Jesus says, I must preach this kingdom. I must preach this gospel. And it was the good news of the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus came to bring. And so the church is a vehicle, is a speaker, not for the gospel of the church itself. You know, it's a speaker, it's an amplifier for the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. We are bringing and we are declaring that Jesus is King. He is the head of the church. He is the Lord of all. And so we've got to have the same heart and mind as He did. And so Paul comes and he speaks to the Philippians. And they had a few persecutions that come in. I don't know if any viruses or so that they confronted, but their boat was definitely rocked. And they had experiences where people were coming against them. In fact, Paul was imprisoned during that time. And so he's writing to them, and Philippi was a Roman colony. And a colony is the group of people that a kingdom sends to the place where they've conquered, and they want to establish their way of life, their culture, their language. And so they send this group of people there, and they say, don't live like your surroundings, live like where you come from, and it will become like that. And we see that throughout, even through, for instance, I think, the Muslim nation or the Muslim belief does that quite well. You go look at Europe. Some of the Europeans that were very open and very liberal to invite and include everyone. And you see the faith of Islam that is taking land, because they don't become like those of Netherlands or those of Italy or those of London or so. They don't become like, they stay within their religious faith and their ways. And then they marry, and they have children, and they become more. And so their way of life starts to extend. And what Paul says here is, guys, you are in a Roman colony. You are in a group. You are in an area where people are living like the Romans. They are the Roman Empire. But you are not citizens of the Roman Empire. You are citizens of heaven. He says, this is where our citizenship is, from heaven. And we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, colony from heaven. Huh? Amazing. And so we are to live kingdom life, the life of Jesus. How did Jesus live? And here is a way how we can summarize that. It says, Paul's writing in Philippians 2, and he's saying, guys, this is how I want you to live. This is what I want you to consider as you live. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. As I must say, that one is quite difficult at times. I think I can help lots of people, but I don't always consider other people more significant than me. If I'm honest, sometimes I sometimes feel quite nice when I feel or when I look or when I act better than others. When I have more than others, I feel a little bit more confidence to go to somebody that's got less, that's less significant than me. Oftentimes, I feel, and on the other way, I feel a little bit more cautious to go to somebody that's more significant according to the worldly ways. Paul's writing and says, guys, you shouldn't have that mind. Don't think that way. Think of everyone more significant in the sense of how can I serve? How can I help? How can I be of service to you? Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Now, it's not come to us like this, but I mean, most of you saw on Facebook or so where you see pictures where shops are emptied. They don't have any hand sanitizer. They don't have any masks. They don't have any toilet paper. We've got to look after ourselves. But it's beautiful then to see some other churches. It's, you know, just on giving some video clips similar to what Andrew did this morning. And where they're gathering resources and they're getting stuff so that they can bless other people. And that's the testimony of the church. That's the way of the kingdom. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So now he's saying, okay, he's going to speak about a mind, this kind of mind, this kind of thinking. He says, it's yours in Christ Jesus. If you look to Jesus, if you consider Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, if you've received the kingdom, that mind, that way of thinking is yours. Just go lean on it. Just ask him. He says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He's speaking of the deity of Jesus Christ. You've got to know that Jesus was before he was born on earth. Eh? When he was born as a human, that wasn't his first step, if I can call it like that. Christ was before, he was part of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity. He has always been and will always be. Okay, and Jesus is God in the form of man. And so what this points to is that Christ was with the Father. You would know the scripture, John 3, verse 16, many of you know. It says, the Father loved, God loved the world so much that he sent his only Son. Okay, so Christ was sent. And this is that portion. He says, he was with God. He had the same form of God, the same glory it speaks of, the same significance as the Father in heaven. And that significance, that glory was not something that he had to grasp and hold on to maintain. It says that it was not something to be grasped. It was not something to be maintained. And some theologians would say that the moment where Adam and Eve disobeyed, they wanted to be like God. That was the lie. The devil said, if you eat of this, you will be like God. But a few verses before, it says in Genesis 1 verse 27, and God said, let us create man in our image, according to our likeness. They were already like God. But the devil came in with a lie to say, if you do this in your own, and if you decide in your own, because it would make you wise, it would make you more significant, it would make this fruit would do all these things. In your own strength, you could be like God. And that was the lie. And so Jesus reveals a way of life that your likeness to God, or your position in God, your identity is not something that you've got to, you know, kind of maintain. It's given to you. You've got to live it out. And the way that his significance was lived out, it was an opportunity to help others be more significant. And so he emptied himself, it says, by taking the form of a servant. That is dying to self. A form of glory and a form of godliness that is only able to be contained in heaven. And now he takes on the form of a human, a servant. And us, we don't understand what servant really, if you go to India and if you go to countries like that where they have the outcasts and so, then you start to understand what position in the society a person of that would have. Jesus took on, in comparison to heaven, low. And he says, I emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Death on the cross was the absolute worst way of dying. It was preserved for only the worst sinners. And Jesus goes from the highest point to the lowest point. Most significant significance to the least. And he is the one, you've got to consider now this, he is the one that's coming and bringing a kingdom of heaven. A good news of the kingdom of heaven. And he's establishing his kingdom. And this is the way he does it. This is the thinking that he has in doing it. Lower. 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 To the point of death. It is how he thinks, and it's also how he gives the example. The kind of example that he gives. He says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That Corona will bow her knee and confess, its knee and confess. That every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And it goes against the human way, the worldly way of living. And friends, as a church, as an amplifier of the message of the kingdom of God, this is the way that we need to live. This is the example that we have been given. Deny yourself. And don't just deny yourself in, you know, just... deny yourself, accept Jesus. Deny your own thinking, receive the thinking of God. Deny your own decision, receive the decision of God. Deny your own kingdom, your own rule, receive with gratefulness the kingdom of God that's unshakable. Because your kingdom and the world's kingdoms will be shaken. We have got a family member quite a way off. We heard over the weekend, just with all the stock markets, you know, with one of the investments, lost 30 million rand on an investment overnight, in a sense, with all these stock markets. Now, the fact that he had 30 million rand to lose is one thing. But I just, can you imagine the shaking that takes place overnight? All over the world. Now, he might be seen maybe as a more significant person. But I tell you, it's the one that's unshakable, the one that's not shaken, that has the voice, that has the message, that has the power. And the world is looking for that which is steadfast, stable. Stand the test of time. So, end off with this. 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. John 3 verse 16, we know God sent his beloved son. Those who believe in him will live. Okay, I'm paraphrasing that. It says, but 1 John 3 verse 16, it says, by this we know love. The way of Philippians 2, the mind of Philippians 2 is a mind filled with love. To deny self, to count others more significant. That is the way of love. And that does not come by feeling. You don't wake up on the right side of the bed and feel, okay, yes, today I'm going to. That's not the kind of love that he's speaking here. He says, this is a love that we have received of Jesus, that he gave his life for us. And now that kind of love gets transferred through us, gets expressed through us by laying down our lives for the brothers. And so as we consider the times, as we consider the times for us as a local congregation, as we multiply in communities, I want to ask you, love the brothers and sisters, that includes. Lay down your life. See, as we're going to multiply, see, Lord, how can I love? How is this an opportunity to love those around me? So we consider the news and all of it and coronavirus and however that's going to, how can you love those around you? Lay down your life. How does that look like? In general, it seems like the more mature ones in our midst would, kind of just biologically, they experience it more hard. How can we help our fathers, mothers, our neighbors that are maybe older, that cannot, that are sick? In general, you know, I think the virus is just highlighting that thing. But how can we support? How can we lay down our lives for one another? And when we do that consistently, it is like a loud voice that keeps on ringing, that has to get attention. It's in the spirit. I know time and time again, as you guys support one another, the testimony goes outside to the neighbors or to family members or so. And some people might not agree with how we sing to the Lord. You know, clap our hands or so. I sometimes feel uncomfortable with how they sing to the Lord. But those people love one another. And that draws people to Jesus. Those people care for one another. It draws people to Jesus. And so this kingdom of God, as Paul writes in another portion, he says, it's not just one of talking. It's one of power. It's got within it the message that you can be forgiven from whatever sin. You can be restored to life. And you are brought into a family of others that are similar to you, have been restored, have been renewed. And so we advance together and we say, come be part. Don't just follow us, follow him who we are following. The one who loved us and laid down his life for us. So if you're wondering, how can I love? First, know you have been loved. Know love. Know the love of God every day. It's not just a salvation story. It's every day. Know the love of God. Some of us are struggling because we've forgotten the love of God. Know his love for you. Know how he's carrying you on his shoulder, I think the picture this morning. Know how he is with you. And then be that for others. Go love and consider others more significant. And let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for your kingdom. Your rule and reign. And I pray for that for each one of us this morning. You would come by your spirit and settle our hearts in you. Lord, we don't want any peace apart from you. We're not looking for a feeling. We're looking for the reality of Jesus, his rulership in us. And I pray for every single one here to afresh, just give themselves to you. And that this lay down life, this way of thinking, that not my will but your will. Not my significance but your significance. Not my interest but your interest. Lord, would you help us to think that way. Renew minds. And if maybe you've just realized as I was speaking or as you were reading the scripture, just realized here's an area that I'm looking for my own interest, my own significance. Just bring that before the Lord. That's what we call repent. Is you change your thinking and you start walking another way. You start doing another way. As husbands, are you just looking for your own interest or are you laying down your life for your wife? Wives, are you just looking for your own interest? Or are you giving yourself to your husband? Submitting to him and following? Children, you're just looking for your own interest? Maybe as a single at this stage, are you just looking for your own interest? How you will find that spouse or how... And as maybe as dear as that desire is, what is God looking after? What is God asking for you, of you? And Lord, we want to seek your kingdom first. Business owner, in this time, what are you seeking in terms of the business and how we do that? As a worker, every facet of our lives, are we seeking His kingdom? And I pray, Lord, that you would come and arrest our hearts with your kingdom. In Jesus' name. I bless you, Lord. Amen. I do want to ask one part, and we're gonna kind of end off, but I want to give two more responses. Letitia mentioned that she was faced with suicidal thoughts and she wanted to do that. And God helped her. Do you know what? That there are times where it seems like God's not close and you might be close to that or you considering those thoughts. I want to ask you to come and let us pray with you. I want to ask Letitia if you can maybe stay here and just pray with. And it might be, we're not going to come and judge you and you this wrong or so. We just know it's very difficult for you, this moment. Sometimes it's so difficult to believe God's truth. But we want to come and believe with you for God's truth. So we want to stand with you and pray for you. So I want to ask you, just come here as everyone stands up and they're going. And then if you are sick, we want to pray for you. Okay? We want to lay our hands and just trust God that... that He'll heal your body and strengthen your body. Amen? So have a great day. To the Durbanville guys, please stay. They brought some lekker muffins. Isn't that nice, huh? Thanks, guys. So, and I do really want to say, Henry, and to the team, thank you so much again. We were blessed. We were edified today. Just you being here, sharing the different contributions, worshiping with us. And so let's learn from the example. In a wee while, Cassie's already planning on, we're going to ask, hey, who wants to go as a community? And funny enough, I think it will be with the evening congregation of Durbanville. But we want to do that because that is part of our message. We support one another. We're not just a local church here doing our own thing. And no, we actually go as well. And so every single one of you gets the opportunity to go even in that way. And so be ready and let's go and be a blessing. And then in this week, we see you on Wednesday, communities, other times of gathering. And the guys, we're going to have a great weekend. Church is still going to continue, so be here. There's a few guys that can't be at the men's camp, and they're going to be involved here. The ladies, everyone's going to be involved here. So let's have a great time together. If you're going on holiday, rest well and enjoy it. Okay. And have a great day. Bless you. So if you need prayer, come to the front. Even if it's not for one of those two things, we'll pray for you as well.